Welcome to a special edition of Talking Tax. I'm Siri Belusu. Today, we're bringing you a conversation with Myrtle Jones, Senior Vice President of Halliburton. Halliburton Co. is the second largest oil and gas exploration company in the world, operating across 80 different countries. In 2018, the company clocked in a net profit of $1.7 billion. Myrtle chats to us about how the 2017 tax overhaul helped the company's bottom line, how it brought in new compliance challenges, and she explains how diversity can fuel innovation, right down to how to file a tax form. Myrtle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
In the company's recent third quarter filing, you guys reported an effective tax rate of about 18.8%. That's nearly 10% down from the last quarter of the same year. Are investors seeing the reduced effective tax rate as a win? And how does that tax rate reflect the health of Halliburton dividends?
I do believe that shareholders are seeing the benefit of tax reform. When the new law was first started to be communicating around December of 2017, we saw a lot of positive reaction from our shareholders as a result of that. As compared to our competitors, Halliburton's effective tax rate benefited by about 900 basis points, whereas our largest competitor that is not incorporated in the United States, their effective tax rate has stayed basically the same. So it has definitely narrowed the gap between what our effective tax rate is and what our competitors' effective tax rate is. So we believe that the tax reform has achieved, to a large extent, what it was supposed to do, which was to create a level playing field as far as tax is concerned for U.S. multinational companies as opposed to non-U.S. multinational companies.
So it's interesting about being incorporated here versus overseas. Our Bloomberg Intelligence analyst estimates about 30 to 40% of your income comes from overseas operations, which is less than your competitors. So does the repatriation tax, does making that overseas cash viable for investments in the U.S., does that give you guys a competitive advantage?
I definitely believe, I don't know that it gives us a competitive advantage in terms of being able to go out to work. But what it does do is it gives us a lot more flexibility in terms of how we deploy our capital. Being able to bring that cash back home, whether it to be to increase dividends or make investments in new capital equipment, is a very important benefit for us. A lot of people may not realize it, but Halliburton is a huge manufacturer. We manufacture almost all of our tools that we use and to provide services. Those tools are primarily manufactured in the United States. So again, to be able to bring that cash back and have the optionality to deploy it in a way that makes sense on a year-to-year basis is a new tool in our toolbox that we didn't have before tax reform. Does it make us more competitive? I'm not sure, but it definitely makes it to where we are, again, on a level playing field.
So it appears that tax reform has unlocked two sources of cash for Halliburton. First, by reducing the company's effective tax rate, and next, by the repatriation of the offshore cash stores. How is the company going to move forward with that new cash on hand?
I don't know that we have made any type of definitive plans about how we will deploy that cash. We've recently come out of a very severe downturn where oil prices were quite low, and our business was severely impacted by that downturn. And all I can say is that having a lower tax rate, the ability to use the cash that's generated offshore, is certainly a shot in the arm to our ability to recover from this recent downturn, one that is, you know, really impactful to what we're doing.
Sounds like your industry is dealing with a lot of uncertainty. There's external forces in the oil and gas industry, and now there's regulatory uncertainty coming from all of these new tax rules coming through. How do you steer a ship with a market cap close to $28 billion? How do you navigate that in this time of regulatory uncertainty?
Very carefully. it's very complex. I credit, you know, the team that I've of people that I have at Halliburton, not only within the tax department, but throughout finance and throughout the business. We communicate and we collaborate and we work hard to stay abreast of the changes that are happening and be able to make intelligent, well thought out decisions. And so we don't just make changes at the drop of a dime. Everything is, again, analyzed, assessed, and we move with caution, you know, because at the end of the day, we're here to support the business and to do whatever we can to help Halliburton, you know, accomplish its overall goals of, you know, returning value to our shareholders. And again, it is very, very complex, and it there's a lot of just all of these external sources coming together. So, a lot of communication, a lot of collaboration, a lot of energy going into trying to figure out all these things and try to stay, if not ahead of the game, to at least stay on top of it.
Everything we've heard from Treasury, the public statements that they've made recently, kind of falls, in my mind, into this bucket of sorry, we're not sorry for all of these rules coming out. It's hundreds of pages of rules. What is the decision-making process as you take tax positions before rules are really finalized or even understood?
You have to take a position. I don't have the luxury of saying, well, I'll tell you what the answer is when the regulations come out. That's not the way the rules work. That's not the way the accounting rules work. That's not what the investors want to hear. We work very hard to understand what we do know. And we spend a lot of time talking to a lot of external advisors and people, you know, in D.C., people that are close to the action, to get a feel for what the most likely outcomes will be. We're very clear about what our assumptions are when we come up with when we make our estimates, and make it clear that we want to make that our estimates are based upon the best information available at that time, and that they're subject to change as regulations come. And we have a clear understanding between ourselves and our external auditors and our external stakeholders, you know, what those assumptions are. And we give them our best feel for whether the numbers may be positively or negatively impacted based upon what we know. And as information comes available, we adjust. So as you might imagine, there's a lot of spreadsheets going on in my tax department, and I'm sure in a lot of tax departments these days, where we are modeling out what the likely outcomes are as we hear information. But we're very proactive about going out and seeking that information from advisors, from news sources, and making sure that those models are alive. And they're, you know, I cannot tell you how many different iterations of those models that we have run, and that we will probably run again between now and the end of the year. We just got two big chunks of regulations, you know, dropped on us just this week, and that is a lot to plow through. But I would tell you also, you know, as a tax professionals, and as, I mean, we're kind of geeky, and it's really kind of an exciting time for us. And we're kind of enjoying it, you know. So that's kind of the other side of it is, you know, people are really energized and engaged, and, you know, and it's an opportunity to see which could be another 30 years of tax law being, you know, being implemented and being a part of that process is actually pretty exciting.
So you're mentioning this new compliance burden of trying to catch up with the new rules as they're coming out. It all has to happen in real time. How much is Halliburton leaning on outside consultation? And what happens when they tell you something you don't want to hear?
What happens when they tell me something that I don't want to hear? I say, well, I don't want to hear that. and then we move on. And I like to describe the way that we work with our external advisors is that we partner with them, as opposed to we just digest and receive, input from them. Obviously, we do have to rely upon them quite a bit, but we also do our own independent research, our own independent thinking, And I believe that we internally are better able to understand the application to Halliburton's business because we know the business better than our external advisors. And so, therefore, the marriage of the two, I think, is the best approach for how we operate, you know, at the business. Now, if it's just going to be an answer that I don't want to hear, then the next thing I want to know is there still an opportunity for us to affect what might be coming out of that particular regulation? You know, is there an opportunity for us to provide comment and examples? And if I can't get that done through the external advisor, I mean, Halliburton has its own, you know, governmental affairs group. And so, you know, we have different avenues for addressing the potential changes in the regulations. And so at this point, the way we're handling it is, yes, is there an opportunity for us to perhaps give some input into the crafting of the regs so it's that, you know, perhaps the writers don't quite understand the real world implications of what's happening here. So we try to take a real proactive, you know, view of that. So, yeah.
Does this seem like a tax regime that a company like Halliburton could get comfortable with for the foreseeable future?
I think that we can definitely get comfortable with it. It's certainly better than the one that we've had for the past 30 years in terms of just the rate and the competitiveness of our tax rate compared with the rest of the world. So there's a lot that remains to be seen. But can we do it? Yes, we can. Yes, we absolutely can live within the regime. We're making the changes in the structure of the department and the resources that will be required. The international pieces will be they did not get more simple. We still have to see how they will impact how we will do acquisitions and things of that nature. So there's still a lot to be seen.
One thing I definitely wanted to talk to you about is the importance of diversity in corporate leadership. I think diversity has become an exciting talking point in a lot of industries where people are more visible. But you're behind the scenes pulling strings of a major multinational corporation. So what is the importance of diversity in your space?
I think that is incredibly important. And I think that organizations are really beginning to understand the importance of diversity, the value of diversity on a number of aspects. One is just, you know, overall engagement. You really want your entire workforce to believe that they have the opportunity to succeed. And by believing that they have the opportunity to succeed, you're going to have higher engagement, higher productivity. It's just, you know, it's just simple as that. So you really want, you know, each person that you bring in the door to believe that they have the opportunity to attain whatever it is that they're there for. And that just leads to higher engagement, higher productivity, which then falls down to the bottom line. So people understand that there have been roadblocks and disadvantages to women and to people of color. And you can't just, you know, make that go away overnight. And an effective way of getting past the fact that and helping employees to understand that those roadblocks no longer exist is to actually see that success happen. And it just makes sense, right? Because if you have everyone in the room that has the same experiences and that they think alike, where's your innovation coming from? So I think that diversity really spurs innovation. You have to have a multitude of thoughts and ideas and experiences in the room to come up with innovative ideas and innovative ways of doing things and innovative ways of getting things done. So I think that innovation, which is really what's, you know, fueling a lot of our economy now. I mean, innovation is not just, you know, coming up with the latest piece of software. Innovation is all the way down to what's the best way to get a tax return filed, you know. And so if you can apply that type of mentality throughout the entire biology or whatever of a corporation, imagine what you get from that.
So it sounds like tax certainty and diversity are really what is going to help companies moving forward.
I agree.
So what gets you energized and what gets you out of bed every morning?
I enjoy tax. That is a very complex, challenging field that I really enjoy the complexity of it. I enjoy the opportunity, you know, working within tax to add a lot of value to the organization. I love being a leader. That's what excites me. I'm probably a little bit more extroverted than your normal tax person. At least that's what I've been told. but it is the people aspect of it, you know, because at the end of the day, what we do is to return value to our shareholders, but let's not lose sight of our internal, you know, stakeholders, which is our employees.
Thank you so much for your time, Myrtle. We appreciate your insights.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
That was a Bloomberg Tax exclusive with Myrtle Jones, Senior Vice President of Halliburton. Special thanks to Mark Rosaro, Energy and Industry Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, and Robert Russell, Tax Attorney at Alliant Group in D.C. Thanks for joining us on Talking Tax. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bloomberg Tax and subscribe to our show on iTunes and SoundCloud. Tune in next time for more government news from the nation's capital. From Washington, I'm Siri Belusu for Bloomberg Tax.